you want to turn over there. And it is good to see everybody tonight. Well, I appreciate the Wingroves. Through the summer, they fill up a whole pew and a half sometimes, and that's a blessing. And so we appreciate all you being with us tonight as well. And it's Austin's first official Wednesday night being moved in, so we're glad they're getting settled in and everything. And let's pray for them. And I meant to mention that Brother Norman's test came back good. And not everybody, or everybody probably hadn't heard that, but praise the Lord. That's a blessing, because he told me how his thyroid was and how that mass they took out and everything. And so just praise the Lord. That's really a blessing. But, you know, I felt like that everything was going to be all right. And so, praise the Lord. And let me find my place. We'll get started tonight. But we're in Isaiah chapter 9. And we're going to read a verse there and then go a couple of other places. And we'll get started tonight. This is part number 9. We've been in this for 9 weeks now. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 10, and studying, and we went over a lot of things this summer. This has basically been this summer that we've been dealing with this. Started in May, and we had a Bible school, and I was out of town a couple of weeks, but we've been in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10. Let's just read that verse, and then we'll get right into the study tonight, sort of picking up where we left off last week. But the Bible says there, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. And if I was going to summarize, if somebody came up and asked me and said, and we had somebody here last Sunday morning that heard me talking about this, preaching about this, teaching from this on the radio, and they said, well, I read a book. They'd read the book, The Harbinger, and I had taken some of my material from that book, and so they came to church on Sunday morning because they had heard that I was preaching on that. But anyway, if somebody came up and asked me, you know, what is that all about? If I was going to just summarize it real quickly for somebody, what Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 10 was all about, I would say there's three things we've been studying about. One, we've looked at the actions, and I've already pointed that out. I'm not going to go back over all of it again, but the action, what literally took place historically. And then we've compared this to September 11th, 2001, and the terrorist attacks on America at that time. But what happened? The bricks are falling down. We compared that to the Twin Towers, and I've talked much about how the buildings were on fire, and they fell down into their own footprint, and how that's never happened in all the history of high-rise fires that there's ever been. There's never been a set of buildings that literally turned into dust, fell down into their own footprint, and left a pile of rubble. You think about it, a 1,300-foot building falling down to what that pile of rubble that you have all seen pictures of ended up being about 100 feet tall. And so that is amazing in and of itself. And we compared that. The bricks are falling down. The sycamores are cut down. We talked about and took a whole week about the sycamore tree. There's a famous tree now, the sycamore of Ground Zero, how that it was overturned. They took the stump and they put it in the churchyard just down the street. They made a memorial out of it, and they pulled the roots out of the ground. And an artist took those roots and made a monument out of that. So what was a sign of judgment, they turned into a sign of defiance. The sycamores are cut down. And then the Bible says there, what also took place, we will build with hewn stones. They actually put a hewn stone, it was called the Freedom Stone, in place as the cornerstone of the new Freedom Tower. And then it said the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. They actually had somebody donate a cedar tree. And they put that cedar tree, and they had a memorial service or a dedication service. They called it the Tree of Hope, and they planted it in the exact same spot of where that sycamore tree was. So the action involved in all of that. Well, some people say, well, that's just all coincidence. Well, you know, some people, they couldn't see God if he came down in the burning bush, and if Jesus came and preached, they'd criticize that. You know, the Bible, the Word of God, we take, we live by faith. So you say, I see that, I see the hand of God, or there'll always be somebody. They don't see God's hand in anything. And so there's the actions. Then we pointed out and spent time on the attitude. And I've spent much time on this, that this has become the national motto of America. We will build. They said, we will build. We will change them into cedars. And you see that now everywhere. I've given multiple examples and of that attitude. No matter what happens, this is the attitude that comes out. We will build. We'll build back. We'll come back stronger. And that was the attitude of Israel, and that's the attitude of America. And then we've started looking at the after. After 9/11, what happened after 9/11? We spent a few weeks talking about that. And if we were looking in the Bible, and strictly speaking, historically, what took place in Israel after that first miniature invasion, what happened after God sent that warning sign to Israel and the Assyrians attacked and they breached the wall and the bricks were falling down and they said, no matter, we're going to build back. The things that happened after that in the nation of Israel, leading all the way up to the captivity, the carrying away into captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem. And so if you get into all of that, you're going to look at the rest of the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of the other prophets that are what we call the pre-exile prophets. And so we're not going to get into all of that, but we are choosing a few things and bringing them out. But the after, what happens to a nation after God warns them, that depends a whole lot. Their attitude after that is going to determine what happens after that. And so we seen their attitude was, they didn't listen to the warning judgment of God. They just said, we'll build the walls back with hewn stones and we'll change the sycamores into cedar trees. And so the after, now what happens after that is determined by the attitude of the nation. And as long as a nation, whether it's the nation of Israel in Isaiah's day leading up to the captivity, or whether it's the United States of America today, as long as a nation continues on in an unrepentant, prideful, rebellious attitude, the course that that nation is on is going to remain the same. And so if our attitude never changes, we're going to continue on this course of the judgment of God upon a nation. So our attitude as a nation is very, very important. Now, I do not claim to know the future. I'm not a prophet like Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel was. But I have said this before and I'll say it again. I do believe that if you and I, if we will study the Bible, if we will study history and we'll study current events, we can get a pretty good idea of what is happening and what is going to happen. And so it's important for us to study these things. It's important for us, first of all, to study the Bible because the Bible is the Word of God and the Bible does tell us the future. You know that, don't you? The Bible tells us the future. I was reading 2 days ago, I think it was, in the book of Revelation. I said, well, I've got a few minutes. I'm going to read a little bit. I turned over to Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. God gave us the Bible. God gave us the book of Revelation to show us things that are going to happen. So there ought to be an interest in future things. This is why God gave us specifically the book of Revelation, but we know that all the Bible is tied together, and so we study the Bible, the Word of God, first and foremost, and then secondly, we study history because history repeats itself. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, it is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun." Now, back in Genesis chapter number 11, you have over there chapter 10, chapter 11, you have the rise and fall of the Tower of Babel. And what did they say? They said, "Let us go to now and build us a city and a tower." And Nimrod was the king over the first Babel or Babylon. And there was the rise and fall of a nation there. And do you know the whole world history of mankind has just been one nation after another. The rise and the fall. They will come on the scene. You could call that the pride and fall of nations. Because that's what usually happens. A nation comes along, they get full of power, they get full of pride, they forget about God, and they eventually fall. Every nation has fallen as a nation. And so we recognize tonight that America is a nation, and history repeats itself over and over and over again. There are things that are happening right now in America that happened in Germany before the Nazis took over. And so when you see these things, that history, it really does. It repeats itself. People make the same mistakes over and over and over again. The devil uses the same tactics over and over and over again because people fall for the same things over and over and over again. So study the Bible, study history, study current events. Current events lets us know where we are in time. For example, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." So we look in the Word of God and we know that in the last days perilous, dangerous, weakening times are going to come. We're living in those days. If you take the verses after that, verses 2 through 5, I looked at that today again. There are 19 headlines for this past week in the news. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. All those things it mentions there. After this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. What's it like out here in the world? Men are covetous, boasters, proud, unthankful, unholy, despisers of those that are good. I thought about people that went to Chick-fil-A today to eat. Do you know there's people that will hate you because you went and had a chicken sandwich at a Christian business? Now that's one of the craziest things I've seen go on lately. That you'd ask a Christian businessman what he thought about marriage, and he told you what he thought about marriage and was honest about it, and people make a big deal out of it. And mayors in three of our nation's cities came out immediately after that and said, "Chick-fil-A is not welcome here in Chicago and Boston and Washington, D.C. And so, you know, people's made a big deal out of it. Where has it ever come about in America that we make a big deal over that it's right for men and women to be married? But that's what we've come to. Despisers of those that are good. And Friday they're supposed to have a kiss in at Chick-fil-A. And we was talking before church, I think it'd be a good idea if they said, "You know, we made enough money on Wednesday, we're not even going to open up on Friday." Wouldn't that be funny? Well, anyway, probably that won't happen, but you know, our world's messed up. Despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. A lot of people are religious, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And so this is the day in which we're living in. We know this. We recognize this. So America right now, today, is as a nation in defiance of God, trusting in self-reliance. Doesn't matter what happens to us, we'll rebuild. We reaffirm. We'll come back stronger. I didn't even think about this before, but I was reading an article earlier this week, and there's a picture of a man, and in his office, he had a picture of Mr. Obama from the campaign era, and you know that black and red and blue type picture that they have of him. And underneath his picture, his motto from 2008, "Yes, we can." Hadn't even noticed that, but there's that same attitude. We can do, we can do. We'll come back, and all of this stuff. And so that's the position that we find the United States of America in tonight. In defiance of God, in a position of self-reliance. We're going to do this. We're going to come back. Now, look over just a few chapters. Look in Isaiah chapter number 14. I thought about this today as I was studying, and I want us to just quickly see where that attitude originates from. Do you know a self-reliant, I, me, my attitude? Do you know where that comes from? That doesn't come from the Lord. We ought to realize tonight where our strength comes from, where our safety comes from, that in and of ourselves we are nothing without God. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." But do you know who's got an attitude that they are better than God and bigger than God? The devil does. Lucifer does. That is where that attitude originates from. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12. We'll read just a few verses and then move on. The Bible says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" And I notice, I want to point out in verse number 12 what it says about Lucifer. When he is cast down into hell, and those that are already there, they see him and they wonder, you know, is this the one that did all that bad stuff? Notice what they said about Lucifer in verse number 12, or what the Lord said about him. "O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Which didst weaken the nations. Our nation tonight is as weak as it's ever been in all of its history. We are weak physically, economically. I mean, you could just go right down the line. We are weak. Why? Why? Because we've listened to the devil. Because we're not relying upon the Lord, who's our strength and our comfort and our helper and all of these things. We are weak. And the nations of the world are weak. This is not just a localized thing in America, but many nations are going through similar things that we're going through in America tonight. And so I thought that was interesting. He and his attitude and his influence weakens the nations. Now, look over in Ezekiel chapter 14. That's where we left off last week. And last week in Ezekiel chapter number 14, we saw the nation that is under the judgment of God and there's no reprieve. Meaning by this time, there's no chance whatsoever that Israel was not going to be judged. In fact, I shared that Schofield heading there above verse number 12. It says Jerusalem on no account to be spared. And we gave the examples there of Noah, Daniel, Job. Three times it mentions them. We'll just read verse 14 for example. We studied verses 12 through verse number 21. But verse 14, for example, said, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If they were there and prayed for Jerusalem, Jerusalem was still going to be destroyed. But they would pray and they would be delivered because of their righteousness. So we looked at that as an example of a nation that has gone past the point of no return and will not be spared. It is under the judgment of God. And we were trying to discern in our studies, where is America on this line? You know, have we passed the point of no return as a nation? And that's what we got down to in verse number 21. Now let's begin reading there in verse number 21. The Bible said, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. That's what we're going to look at tonight, those four sore judgments. But read verse 22. The Bible said, yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth. Both sons and daughters, behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I brought upon it, and they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings. And notice this, what he says, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. And notice that he said, you're going to know that I have not done without cause all that I have done. God doesn't just do things off the cuff like you and I do. God doesn't do things and send things and allow things just sporadically. He doesn't have a board that he spins, or he doesn't flip a quarter or something to see what he's going to do. God knows what he's going to do, why he's going to do it, and God does things for a reason. And he said, you'll see the cause, that there was a cause behind this. And Proverbs chapter 26, I thought about this the other day. Proverbs 26 and verse number 2, the Bible says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. And what that means over there, the curse causeless shall not come, it means when the curse comes, there's always a reason. There's something caused the curse to come. The curse causeless shall not come. And so what is happening in our nation, in the world, it's not by accident. There's a cause behind all of it. And when we study the Word of God, we find out why God sends judgment to nations. I have not had time to do this yet, but I'm going to put it out here for you to think about. And if I assigned homework, I'd say, do this. If you want to see where we are as a nation, I've done this, but I've not written it out. I'd like to take time to do that sometime. But go to Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and I call that the blessing or the curse chapter. I'm not going to take time to do this tonight, but you do this when you get home. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. God told the nation of Israel, he said, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, he said, you'll get all these blessings. These blessings will come upon thee. These blessings will overtake thee. Boy, can you imagine being overrun with blessings? And he goes on down, he said, you'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed in the house. You'll be blessed. You'll be a lender nation. You'll be the head and not the tail. And I mean, he goes on and on and on. God said, if you will just listen to me and do what I tell you to do, you'll have so many blessings that they'll overtake you. And I believe in the past, we can say in America that, boy, God has blessed us. If you don't think God's blessed us, you just need to visit around a little bit. Go to another country. See how not even the other half, but probably, and I'm guessing here, the other 90% lives. I don't know where we are in relation to population, but see how the rest of the world lives. It's not like America. God's blessed us and blessed us over and above. And so God said down through the first 14 verses there, if you listen, if you obey, I'm going to bless your socks off. But in verse number 15, he changes and he says, but if thou wilt not hearken, and he turns around and he says, then all these curses are going to come upon thee, and you'll be cursed in the field, and you'll be cursed in your basket and in your bread. And I mean, there's a longer list of curses than there are blessings. He goes into more detail. It should have really caused them to set up and pay attention there. He said, you'll become the tail and not the head. You'll become the borrower and not the lender. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar to figure out which category we're in now. Now, just in the past several years in America, our whole everything is changing and changed. And so it's very easy to figure out where we are in the blessing and cursing scale. And I still say we've got more blessings than we deserve. But we see today, boy, things are changing in America. But in Ezekiel 14 and verse number 21, he says, for thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments. And when I seen that in light of what we're studying, it that just jumped out of me. That is the only place you find that mentioned in the Bible, that phrase, four sore judgments. When you find something, a lot of times people say, well, that's mentioned so many times in the Bible. Well, you know what? When something is mentioned one time in the Bible, that's significant as well. And so God tells us here that he has four judgments that he uses to bring a nation down. And he lists them here for us. When I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, and he says, we'll look at them a little bit tonight, the sword and the famine and the noisome beast and the pestilence to cut off from it man and beast. That is significant. Now, four numbers in the Bible, they all mean something. And the number four in the Bible, I'm going to give you just a few things tonight to just let you think about. I do believe that it's significant. The number four in the Bible is associated, one, with the earth. The number four in the Bible is associated with the earth. There's four directions, north, south, east, west. There's four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter. There's four times that we observe right from the Bible. On the fourth day, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. There's four times that we observe. God gave us the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. That's the sun and the moon. And God said, let them be for signs
Now, people make fun, but God gave us the signs to let us know when to do things. And once upon a time, I sort of scoffed at this, but from studying the Bible, I don't scoff at this anymore. I believe there's something to it when somebody said that the signs are right to plant your potatoes, or the signs are right to do this or do that. You say, that's crazy, preacher. Well, that's what the Bible says. God gave the sun and the moon, and he said, first of all, for signs. Now, if I have time to plant on the signs, I'll plant on the signs, but if I don't, I'll just have to plant and trust in the mercy of God. But I do believe there's, God gave us that for a reason. For signs, for seasons, we know what the seasons are. Winter, spring, summer, fall, days and years. Four times that God gave us in connection with earth. First time the word four is mentioned in the Bible, it's talking about in the book of Genesis chapter number 2. And there's two rivers coming out of the Garden of Eden and they turn into four heads. And talking about the four rivers there that came out of the Garden of Eden. So the number four is associated with the earth, but the number four is also associated with judgment, which proceeds from the supernatural realm. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. What I'm getting at is God is getting ready to judge this earth. We talk about it all the time. The Lord's going to come. The Lord's going to judge this world. Well, we see that in the scripture. There is judgment that is coming to this earth from the supernatural realm. Now, I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. For example, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible." That's four things right there. Heaven and earth, visible and invisible. "Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." God mentions four things in the supernatural realm that he created. Some things are visible, some things are invisible. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." He's talking about spiritual warfare. There's a demonic world out here. The devil has forces. He says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There's four of those things. There's four signs that will let us know, or let people in the world know, that the coming of the Lord is near. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 7. "For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." That's the sword. There's warfare going to come upon the earth. "And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places." Four things are mentioned there in Matthew chapter number 24. This is very interesting. The judgments that begin in the book of Revelation chapter number 6. They begin with the opening of the seals, and they begin with the what we refer to as the four horsemen. And I got to reading over there and studying over there today in Revelation chapter number 6. The judgments of the book of Tribulation begin with this. There's four riders on four horses. There's four colors that are mentioned: white, red, black, and pale. There are four instruments that come along with the riders on those horses. One has a bow, one has a sword, one has a pair of balances in his hand, and the last one, he's called death, and hell comes along with him. They're all accompanied with something like that. There are four commodities that are mentioned there. You know, commodities are traded on the stock market. There's four things that are mentioned there. They're involved in that judgment. There's wheat, barley, oil, and wine. They're still commodities today. They're traded. They're very important. The fourth seal is opened and power is given over this is what the Bible says, power is given over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. So there's four things. There's judgment coming to this world from the supernatural realm. And of course here in Ezekiel 14 and verse number 21, there's four sword judgments that are mentioned. And you noticed these same things are mentioned over and over again. The sword and the famine and the beast and the pestilence and all these things. And here in Ezekiel 14, 21, we have the four sore judgments that are mentioned. The sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence. And I pointed that out or said all that to say this, that this pattern of destruction in America and also in the world over the past 20 years and especially since 9/11, they're not just, well, that's just another tornado. That's just another earthquake. That's just another wildfire. We're just going through another dry spell. And I hear people and I've heard people say, well, we've always had. No, we've not. No, we've not. There is a definite increase in all of these things. Earthquakes in diverse places, famine and drought and tornadoes. And, you know, most of us grew up here in the mountains. We've heard all our life, we don't have tornadoes in the mountains. Well, we can't say that anymore because we have had tornadoes. We've never had tornadoes, but now we have tornadoes in the mountains and we have to worry about what we never had to worry about before. The world is different now. I do not believe it's because of global warming. I believe it's because we're headed to global warming, and it's not going to be caused by cattle out in the field. It's caused by sinners in the world. God's going to judge this earth. This is what is coming upon the earth, and we've all heard and heard and heard that all of our lives. But no, it's not just another, and I can't stand to hear that. We've always had hurricanes. We've always had, not like we've had. But there's four specific things, and I'm going to quickly go over these four things in verse number 21. He said, when God judges a nation and there is no reprieve, God has four sore judgments. Number one is the sword. Now that's war. That's war. That can be war that is from within or war that is without. Doesn't matter. It's the same result. And that's people dying by the sword or by war, you say. And I think people in America think that that can't happen in America. But we're foolish to think that. During the Civil War, I think the official is 18,000 people died during the Civil War. Some people say that it was up to 700,000 people were killed on both sides during the Civil War. There were more people died in America as the cause of the Civil War between 1861 and 1865 than died in both the world wars, World War I and World War II. Korea, Vietnam, Persian Gulf War, Iraq, Afghanistan, the Spanish-American War, the American Revolution. More people died in those few years than died in all these other wars that we've had. And that's not ancient history we're talking about. That can happen and has happened in America. That's not really that far removed. Most of us have had parents or grandparents or, like me, I knew my great-grandparents. We have known people that knew people that lived during the Civil War or maybe died during the Civil War or were soldiers. So we're not talking about ancient history. We're talking about 150 years ago in America. Don't think the sword cannot come to America. It can come. If we're under the judgment of God like I suspect that we are, then it will come to America. It will come to America. And that's what ought to concern us tonight. It is not good that the military, you know what's happened in the past year, has just basically turned over reins to the Sodomite movement. When they did that, you're going to have a mass exodus of the good. And when you turn something over to the evil, well, it becomes evil. And that's evil. It is not good. Rome, when Rome fell, they had a... if you study history, it repeats itself. They had a large population of homosexuals in the army that they turned on the people and they fought among themselves. It is not good. It is not good that our law enforcement, if you know anything or read or studied anything about what's going on in our nation with law enforcement is becoming militarized. Meaning becoming more like the military with bigger guns and more people. And I mean, it's just amazing how that law enforcement, our nation, our own government, our own law enforcement could very well come against the people in America. And I'm not going to go all into that, but it's possible. I said on the radio today, and I didn't know that this would happen today because we recorded this weeks ago, but I was preaching and I happened to be in the car when the radio broadcast was on. And I said on the radio today that it would not surprise me if Christians will be persecuted in America. And I thought how interesting that is that that was on when this Chick-fil-A and all this controversy. See, one side says, we need to be tolerant, we need to be tolerant. But that crowd that yells the most about being tolerant is the most intolerant bunch that ever has lived upon the earth. They sure weren't tolerant of Lot when he said, you can't come in and take my male visitors out and do what you want to do with them, buddy. They weren't tolerant at all then, were they? They said, we're going to tear the door down and abduct those men and take them out. And you know, so the sword could come in many different ways. It could come from abroad. It could come from within. The sword is associated with Islam. Associated with Islam. You notice in the Olympics or when we were up in Cincinnati, I was looking out the hospital one day and they had flags of different nations. Some of those nations had a star and a sword on it. I didn't have to guess what they believed in. Islam. Islam's taken over big strides in the world. They are associated with the sword. The Antichrist is going to be associated with the sword. And there's going to be people beheaded and on we could go. But God uses a sword. Then second of all, the famine. The sword and the famine. July 31st, yesterday, this was on one of the major news outlets' website about the drought in America. It said, corn prices surged to a new record high Tuesday as the worst drought in more than 50 years continues to plague more than half the country. Almost 90% of the United States corn crops are in drought-ravaged areas, according to the United States Department of Agriculture. Now, most people go about their business, they say, that's no big deal, but I'm telling you, drought is a big deal. Drought is a silent killer because people go along like nothing's wrong and they say, boy, we're having a nice summer. And we've been picnicking all summer long, hadn't been rained out one time, and they don't realize that's extreme weather. We need rain. But now, in our corn crops, in America I'm talking about, we're to the point with our corn in a lot of places where the corn won't come back. And prices are already going up. And the thing about corn affects everything that we buy. Cereal, your dog food, if you have pets, has corn in it. Your gas has corn in it. Ethanol, your sweets have corn in it. High fructose corn syrup is in everything. That would kill a lot of people right there. if they didn't have their soft drinks and stuff. Number one ingredient, high fructose corn syrup. And so corn affects everything. If we had time, study this on your own. Study the famines in the Bible. Study what God told Joseph there was going to be a famine in Ezekiel chapter 5 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. I was reading that this week, and God said, if you don't listen to me, I'm going to send a famine. And he said, your delicate women that wouldn't touch the sole of their foot to the ground will eat their children because of the famine that I'm going to send. Famine is, it'll make you cry. You think about your babies starving to death. You think about children dying without food and water and all of these things. Famine is awful. You just study in the Bible. You read about it. We all sing. You read the book of Lamentations. I'm going to go on. God said, when I judge a nation, I'm going to allow the sword to come. I'm going to send a famine. And the noisome beast. Now, when I read that, I think in my mind, a noisy beast. I think about lions and tigers running through the land. I think about a loud beast. But as I studied about that, that's not what it's talking about. If you look in verse number 15 of Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 15, this noisome beast is only found four times in the Bible. Four times. And two times here in Ezekiel 14. But verse 15 said, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Now, what kind of a noisy, loud beast passes through a land and destroys the land that there won't be anything left? A locust plague. I've never seen, but I've heard that if you ever hear or see a plague or a swarm of locusts, that they make a terrible, awful noise. And we all know just from in the Bible, you know, that they devour everything. They eat everything. God said, I'm going to send. And there is a headline I found today. It said, U.S. crops being destroyed. Wait for the bugs to follow and destroy what is left. Because drought and locusts, they go together. I read one thing that somebody said. He said, I may be just a poor Missouri farmer, but it seems to me like drought and hard times always go together. Maybe somebody's trying to get our attention. They do. Drought and hard times and all this stuff, they go together. God said, I'll send the noisome beast. And you study that out in the Bible, and it definitely is talking about locusts there. And then he said after that, the noisome beast and the pestilence. A pestilence is simply any contagious or infectious disease that is epidemic and mortal. That means that it kills people. And for many years now, every season you watch, it'll get fall here and go into winter. They're going to push flu shots. You need to get your flu shot. You need to get a flu shot. And I was talking to one of the children's doctor one day, and I was asking him. I said, "What about that?" I said, "Do you recommend that?" I don't get a flu shot. I don't, but neither here nor there. If you do, you do. You don't. But just personally, I don't. I said, what do you recommend? He said, the experts that study these things, he said, they have been predicting for years and years and years that there is going to be a flu outbreak that is going to kill millions of people. He said, that's one of the reasons. He's a doctor. He had studied into that. I've not. But a pestilence is something like a flu epidemic. I've read that whooping cough is making a comeback, outbreaks of Ebola. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can cause a widespread pestilence, not only in America, but in the whole world. This thing of MRSA has come out in the past few years. People get MRSA. And, you know, the hospital, it's a staph infection, but what I've read and studied about it, it is a super bug that antibiotics do not cure or heal like other things. And so that's why it's so dangerous. If you go visit somebody that has MRSA, you've got to put on gloves and, you know, everything like that. MRSA is a bad thing. I've known people that have had it. It's like a modern day plague. It is very, very hard to get rid of. I'd say if somebody does get rid of it, it's by the grace of God. Because antibiotics don't work on it like other things. And so, closing tonight, one last thought I'll leave with you. Look in Proverbs chapter number 1. Here's one thing that leads me to believe that America has gone so far that we passed into this point of no return. And that is simply this. Try telling somebody what I'm preaching to you tonight. Try witnessing to somebody. I thought years ago if the economy went down that people would come back to God. But I have not seen that. If we just go right on. You try telling somebody. You try to show. I mean, we're living in a time either people do or they don't. They agree, they're in or they're out. Which probably is a good thing for the church. For us to be real and be what we are and know the truth and agree and all of these things. But even saved people. I had a preacher, he called me the other day. He said, "Preacher, I want you to come. I'm praying about having you come." He said, "I'm going to have a preacher come and preach a prophecy." He said, "But your specialty, what I'd like for you to pray about doing, I'd like for you to pray about coming and preaching about current events and Bible prophecy." I said, "Well, you better pray hard. Because if your people aren't ready for it, if they've not heard that, it'll scare them to death. They'll leave. They won't come back." I've seen that happen. I do not believe at all that very few preachers in America even know what's going on. Because if they did, you'd hear this every day. Because we're living in a serious time. But it's like throwing a life preserver to a dead person to try to get somebody to see the truth. And yelling at them and saying, "Grab on, hang on, get right with God. This is coming. And a dead person's not going to pay any attention to that. In fact, you might get rebuked over it. But I was reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. Chapter 1. And chapter 1, Proverbs, verse number 24. This is what really got me thinking about all this. He said, "Because." And I got to noticing that word right there. See, he's been saying before this, verse 22, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I'll make known my words unto you. I'm calling, but nobody's listening." And so God said, "Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and with none of my reproof." God said, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." They hated knowledge. Romans chapter 1 talks about people who profess themselves to be wise, but they were fools, and God turned them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't want to hear the truth. They hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Now, that's all bad news. I realize that. But. Thank God there's a divine interjection there. But Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I had a fellow come to me and he was so distraught over all this stuff. And he'd been reading and reading and he's like, well, preacher, help me out. I don't know. You know, is there any hope for us? Is there what's going to happen? Are we going to be affected if times turn? And all of this stuff. And he's just so burdened and consumed with it and everything. And all I can say is what the Word of God says. You just listen to God. You just do what you're supposed to do. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know, in spite of all the bad news, I can really just leave that up to God. I really can. But we got to decide what side we're going to be on. Am I going to be on the I'm not listening side, or am I going to be on the God, I really want to know what you got to say. And I really want to put that into my life. And I realize all that's maybe scary tonight, what we've been studying and looking at. But I do believe in the church in America and people that believe the Word of God, it's really time that we listened. I mean, really, really listened to what God is trying to say to us. I believe there's been a long time of, yeah, we're listening, we believe that. Let's relax and wait for the rapture. But we need to really listen to what God is trying to say unto us that we might be effective witnesses in these last days. I'm being honest with you tonight. When I wake up, I wonder, would today be the day that God takes the bat and knocks our shins out from under us as a nation? Because I see a nation that just like that to God. That's where we are, especially in the ones that you hear the most from. But on the other hand, there are some people that does love God and does want to know the truth and would like to see our nation go. There is a great big division in our country. I want to be on that right side. And so what can we do about all this? I want to be on that right side. I want to stand for right. I want to go to Chick-fil-A and get a milkshake. You know, if that's right, praise God, that's good. I want to stand for what's right. And with people that are standing for what's right, it's not all bad. There are some encouraging things. God is doing things. But boy, we'd better be listening. We better be listening. It's getting serious. It's getting serious. If you don't think, just turn off SpongeBob and get the Word of God out. We're getting serious. Praise the Lord. Preacher Carl has said many times, I've heard him say, churches will be meeting and praying for the Lord to come back before he does. The more I study the Word of God, the more I see why he said what he said. Churches will be meeting praying for the Lord to come before the Lord comes. Well, he might come before the morning. If he does, that'd be all right with me. I appreciate your good attention.